Thanks, Dale. The reading for today. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abram and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is the word of the Lord.
It's a wonderful story. And in fact, it's so good, I'm going to just look briefly at the actual encounter today, because we've heard the nativity story. So I just want to take a few minutes to look at that meeting. And next week, I want to look at the Magnificat itself, that extraordinary song of praise that bursts from Mary. Thanks again for laying the ground so wonderfully with that retelling imaginatively of the nativity story from our younger members. It's fantastic. So let me pray for us for a moment. Father, thank you for the power of this story, and above all, the power of the Saviour of whom it speaks. That this is not a story that happened a long time ago and far away only, but it reaches us now as by your Spirit you come to us. Lord, draw near to us as we draw near to you, we pray. Amen. I'm going to read a little bit out of a splendid book by my friend John Pritchard, former Bishop of Jarrow, Living the Gospel Stories Today. And in fact, the picture, which you can't see, is meant to be a contemporary, anachronistic picture of the meeting of Mary and Elizabeth. Let me read his retelling. Titled, Mary and Elizabeth Attuned to God's Presence. Mary was 14 and pregnant. What's more, she wasn't married. Not ideal, she thought, not ideal at all. Joseph had been a bit lumpish about the whole thing, talking about recalling the wedding invitations and cancelling the photographer. Fortunately, after a good night's sleep and something about a dream, he got it sorted in his mind. She hoped he'd be okay. But it wasn't much fun being sick in the morning and having this weird craving for Earl Grey tea. She needed a break. She decided a trip into the hills to see Cousin Elizabeth, who was also pregnant. A chance to talk about nappy rash and projectile vomiting. Elizabeth knew a lot more than her about most things and was bound to have some old-fashioned wisdom. So off she went to visit her. Elizabeth was hanging out the washing when Mary arrived, a woman's work and all that, but it was most odd. No sooner had Elizabeth heard Mary's youthful greeting than that wretched baby inside her went for the high jump record. Elizabeth gave a sudden start, but then a huge smile spread over her face. Blessed are you, Mary. Blessed are you amongst all of us. Blessed is the fruit of your holy womb. Blessed are you for believing that all this would happen. And Mary found her voice too with Elizabeth. She felt safe, understood, supported, and the words just came tumbling out. My soul is just bursting with the greatness of the Lord, and my whole being is thrilled with God my Saviour. He's noticed even me, the lowest of them all, and I honestly believe that in future people will call me incredibly blessed. We call it the Magnificat. She called it sheer delight. Two women responding from the bottom of their hearts to the greatness and the goodness of God. Two women whose whole beings, their souls, leaped for joy as they recognized the presence of God. When did we last leap for joy, I wonder? What a good question. When did we last leap for joy? Don't hold your hand up, but just maybe keep that question in your mind. Well, because joy is what spills out of this whole story. Two people, well, at least three actually, meet. They figure there's Mary, Elizabeth, and yes, I haven't forgot about John the Baptist, the third Sunday of Advent. John the Baptist gets in his first appearance on the stage, even before he's born, jumping about when he hears the voice of Mary. That's his arrival on the stage, even before he ends up in the desert with his camel's hair coat, etc. I don't know about you, but if there's one thing that I could do with this Christmas, it's a slice of genuine joy. You know, as the confinement and the curfew just plods on, we've got these grey December days. Oh, actually, the blue sky's coming out again. Hallelujah. But, you know, just aware of all the things I won't be doing this Christmas. You know, there'll be people I won't see. Won't see our children, working out how technology can connect us. But how this year can I be touched by a genuine gift of joy? Joy is interesting stuff. It's the silver medal virtue. It always comes after love, you know, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. It's a funny thing, because if we set out to find it, we'll probably fail. You know, I'm determined I'm going to be joyful today. Well, by morning coffee, I'm probably flagging. The forced smile muscles in my jaw are aching. This cannot be just trying harder to be cheerful. Because for me, happiness generally depends on what happens. You know, circumstances. But the joy when Mary and Elizabeth meet seems to come from somewhere else. It seems to come from within. I mean, literally, in Elizabeth's case, you know, John the Baptist, as yet unnamed, leaps within her for joy and triggers Elizabeth's understanding of what God is doing and triggers her joy. Mary sings out, "My soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." This is something to do with the soul, the spirit. Not going to make a difference between them in this piece of parallelism. However we see soul and spirit, they're basically part of our inward self, our inward life. And Mary's joyful song is an overspill of what God is doing in her life. Elizabeth too, her exclamation pours out of her as she is filled with the Holy Spirit. The joy here comes from what God is doing and a sensitivity, an awareness of that. In their own way, both Mary and Elizabeth had opened themselves to what God is doing and had found joy coming out of their obedience and their awareness of the presence of God. Perhaps that is one way I can discover more joy in my life. To practice the presence of God more. To seek to be open to him. To seek to be deliberately and consciously aware of his presence by his spirit in my life. Maybe just start by remembering in the ordinary things of life that God is involved and God is present. Turn my thoughts in his direction, not in a kind of super spiritual piety, but just remembering him. Because all sorts of stuff crowds into my mind these days. Dear me, don't even mention Brexit. You know? And that's before we start on the pandemic or the US elections. You know? All this can throw my mood. But at those points, can I go beyond my thoughts and seek the presence of God, an awareness of him, and a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit? I heard a quote that reminds me of how the frustrations of this life can be invitations to come to God more deeply. The quote goes like this. And this is what God does again and again. He may be doing it for you in this Advent season, graciously and tenderly frustrating you with life that is not centered on Jesus Christ, and filling you with longings and desires that can't find their satisfaction in what this world offers, but only in the God-man. What a Christmas gift that might be. Let all your frustrations with this world throw you onto the Word of God. It will become sweet, like walking into paradise. It's a good thought. I can think of two people that I've met over the years. There's more, but two have lived with me forever who showed joy in extraordinary circumstances. The first was Sister Mary Helena. She founded the world's first children's hospice, Helen House in Oxford, specializing in caring for children near to death and their families. In that context, you might think, oh dear, how dreadful. But actually, the sense of the presence of God and the joy of God there was almost tangible, utterly extraordinary. The other person? Well, he was an elderly Vietnamese pastor. I met him more than 30 years ago in Hong Kong at the height of the Vietnamese boat people refugee crisis, as it was known. We were delivering gifts to children in the grim internment camps, up to 30,000, no, up to 60,000 people who'd fled Vietnam in tiny boats and ended up in Hong Kong were kept. They were celebrating Christmas. In fact, I'll show you some pictures next week. I won't do it this week because I thought, oh, the technology and PowerPoints. But I want to come back to the Magnificat and I'll show you the pictures then. They were celebrating with Christmas decorations made out of discarded Coca-Cola cans and old crisp packets. It's extraordinary what you can do. But I noticed this man, because he had no fingernails. And he went on to tell me that he was a pastor and in North Vietnam, and his fingernails had been torn out by his torturers and never grew back. It had an effect on me. But he beamed at me as he told me he was more free to minister in the camp, and it was terrible. Razor wire fences, concrete and corrugated iron in the stinking heat. He was happier and more joyful than he'd been for decades before. Well, joy turns up in unlikely and unexpected places. A young girl and an old woman meeting on a hillside, if we're open to God's Spirit and God's work. Maybe even here in a pandemic. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you that joy is your gift. And we pray that we would be open to your Spirit. We'd seek a fresh filling and a joyful obedience in the steps of our Lord. This Christmas time, help us not to feel brought down by the challenging, sad, or difficult circumstances. But as we enter into them fully, let's remember too the greater truth of your love and your presence given to us freely. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in just a moment or two, Jeff and Julie are going to sing another song for us. But just to highlight one or two things, as you've seen in the emails that you've received, we've got services coming up.